that when we're in the middle of something really difficult, whether it's life during a pandemic, a rough patch in a marriage, or the struggle with an addiction. It can be hard to keep up hope and remember that good moments, good times are still possible. Anne Lamott has written many books on how to find meaning and hope in difficult times. In her new book, she says, when times are tough, love can be the path to hope. Quoting here, hope springs from realizing we are loved, can love, and are loved with skin on. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How have you found hope and courage when going through something difficult, either in the last year or throughout your life? Do you have ways to spread kindness when things are hard? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Anne Lamott is a novelist and nonfiction writer. She's also an activist, public speaker, and writing teacher. Her latest book is called Dusk, Night, Dawn, on revival and courage. Anne, thanks a lot for joining us.
Oh, thank you. I love this station so much.
Oh, thank you. Well, this is a perfect book for this time. Did you know going into this book we were going to be dealing with this horrific pandemic that really had us thinking about hope and revival?
Well, I didn't know about COVID, but I was on book tour for the last book, whose subtitle was Thoughts on Hope. I'd actually originally called it Doomed, Thoughts on Hope, but my publisher wouldn't go for it. But so anyway, I was traveling around the country, and everywhere I went, people felt so defeated and really kind of freaked out and grief-struck about what was happening in our country. And, you know, then the fires in Australia. I mean, an entire continent was on fire. And then I live in California and our state caught fire, apparently because we didn't rake the forest efficiently enough. And then we were told. And everywhere I went, people just said, where do we even start to get our mojo back? What will our kids be wearing gas masks? This is also after the UN climate change reports that came out, and it was just all devastating. And so I sat down to try to answer that question of where do we start and what works and why bother?
Well, here's a quote talking about where we start. You write, we start in the here and now. And you talk about that in the scope of these huge global problems and in your own struggles in your daily life. It sounds maybe easier said than done. How do we look around us and start in the here and now to deal with something that seems overwhelming?
Well, you accept and understand that it's really hard. It's going to be hard to turn around climate change. It's hard to help a young person who's scaring you to death find their way back to a healthy path or whatever. But we're good at heart, and we're really good at heart. We've stopped fascism a couple times. We invented the antiretrovirals. We stopped smallpox. And so you start where you are. You think like for me, if I don't know what to do on any given day to get my confidence and hope back, I send money to a food pantry, or I drive to Safeway and I fill up two bags full of canned goods and powdered goods and candy, and I drive it over to the food bank in the Canal District here, which is where all the service workers for the county live, where the rate of COVID is astronomical. And you do that. You do anonymous things that help other people have hope, and then you've provided a little bit of hope for the day. You call your most annoying relative and you say, I was just thinking of you. How are you? You know, you take the action, in other words, and then the insight follows. The insight is that we, you know, Mother Teresa, may she rest in peace, said, no one can do great things, but everyone can do small things with great love. So you do a few things that are loving, you even do nice loving things for yourself, for cranky old crunchy neurotic judgmental you. You get yourself a lovely cup of tea, you take the dog for a 3-block walk, you get outside, you look up, you breathe, you wave to neighbors from across the street 6 feet away in masks, and you know, you do whatever you can to help wherever you can one day at a time.
And you talk about yourself as trying to live up to that ideal of giving to others, but also as the recipient. You have sometimes depended on the kindness of strangers, including a woman, I think, from Texas, who played a huge role in your path to sobriety. Can you talk about what one stranger did for you?
Yes. Well, this is 35 years ago almost when I got sober. But, you know, William Blake, the great poet, said, we're here to learn to endure the beams of love. And I just live by that because it's just so awful. And I'm so good at taking care of everyone else. I was raised to be a little flight attendant in my family. My parents had an unhappy marriage, and I had two brothers. And I had a little clipboard, I think, and a caseload of trying to give and save and rescue and fix them all. So to receive something like to receive so much love has taken a lot of practice. But I was in Florida. I was speaking at a national book event. I'd been sober about a year, so this would have been 1987. And I just lost it one night. I was really high up in a hotel. I was scared to death. I had a mini fridge filled with bottles of booze, and it was about midnight. And I was just so doomed. And I looked up a resource line for alcoholics, it was a 24-hour thing. And this guy, this young man, he's probably like 12, said, "Okay, Miss Lamont, we're going to send some over to talk to you." It was midnight. And I said, "You're going to send someone over to talk to me?" And they did, and they sent an elderly woman from Texas who arrived, as I discovered later, in a bright pink Cadillac. And she had the big hair, like Ann Richards always say, the higher the hair, the closer to God. And she came into this hotel room, and she stayed with me for like a couple hours, hour and a half. We shared stories. We shared our experience, strength, and hope. We made each other laugh about what crazy lushes we were. And I've always said laughter is carbonated holiness, you know. But Trevor Noah, who I love, said something better last week. He said, when you laugh with someone, you know you're really sharing something. And with the woman from Texas, I didn't know her from Adam's house cat. You know, we probably had nothing in common, not our politics, not our faith, not our anything. And we just sat and talked and laughed. And then she pulled down, you know, she got a bottle of water for me and put it by my bed and tucked, you know, pulled the sheets down and kind of commanded me to get into bed and try to rest. And I was fine.
We're talking to Anne Lamott about her new book, Dusk, Night, Dawn, on Revival and Courage. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you find hope in difficult times on the planet, in your own life? Call in at 800-642-1234. And you end the main body of the book with it's like a hymn to love and the power of love, I think. And one line, I'm going to spoil it, I hope that's okay with you, that really stuck out to me. Love reveals the beauty of sketchy people like us to ourselves. And there's a lot there about, I don't know, the grace we can offer ourselves for our failings and offer to others. Could you talk about that a little?
Yeah, it's my favorite topic, really, because we try to be people of love and forgiveness, but we've got to start with the most disappointing and annoying person we know, which is us. You know, otherwise we are just coming from a place of depletion and just clench and clutch. But if I can start off by doing something really well, let me say rather, I see intimacy as meaning into me I see. And it's past the surface, it's past the performance, it's past the performance art of having a public life, and it's into the parts of me that are deepest and most true. And I'm not hiding stuff that is adorable and beautiful and touching. You know, I'm suppressing stuff that's materialistic and petty and annoyed and judgmental. And so to go do the deep dive and to start to be forgiving towards myself, because I'm that way, I'm a very mixed grill of characteristics, then little by little I can start doing it with other people. I can start forgiving. I can start seeing beyond the enormous mistakes my parents made raising the three of us into how wounded and isolated and anxious they felt, how sad and how unloved they had really felt as children, and how, you know, they probably should have raised orchids or teacup poodles instead of children, but there we were. And I looked past everything they did that really hurt us to these really touching people who met and fell in love and did what they were told to do. They had children and they did the best they could, and it wasn't great. But, you know, the great theologian C.S. Lewis said something 50 or 60 years ago. He said, when you decide to become a person of forgiveness, maybe you don't stop with the Gestapo. You don't start with the Gestapo. You know, you start with your Aunt Blanche and the very odd things she says at every holiday table that are really hurtful. And you start with her and you realize how lonely she is and how she was raised this way. She's channeling her mother, you know, and you start to go a little bit easy on her. So that for me, love is, it's both complex and simple, because people are tough, people are hard, people are damaged and ruined, and I am too, and I'm making a comeback, and other people are trying to too, and, you know, some days go better than others, some days are just too hard. Sometimes I have to call a best friend. This is always a solution, and say, I hate everyone in all of life. And then that friend will say, oh, I'm so glad you called. I do too. Let's go to Target, you know, and then you're back in the saddle.
We're talking to author Anne Lamott. Her new book is called Dusk, Night, Dawn on Revival and Courage. You can join in if you'd like at 800-642-1234. Do you have ways of finding hope in days, even when days aren't looking so good, even in a tough time like a pandemic, for example? Do you have ways that you reach out and try to help other people? Do you find it easy to forgive people? Or is it harder some days than others and for some people than others? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Verrett. Right now, we're picking up our talk with writer Anne Lamott. She's known for writing openly about a lot of big real-life issues like motherhood, alcoholism, faith. She has a new book out called Dusk, Night, Dawn on Revival and Courage. Let's bring out a caller now at 800-642-1234. We've got John with us in Mauston. John, hello. I think John's on a different line. John, are you there? We'll try to get John in just a sec. And you write about being in what you call the last third of your life. And things didn't magically improve in all ways. We're still people at that age. But you write that it gives you some perspective on the tough times and how long they're going to last. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I actually wanted to call this book The Third Third, because I'll be 67 next month. But, you know, what I experienced, I think at around 50, was that I noticed how much crud I was carrying around from place to place that I had been carrying around for 50 years. You know, like at 50, I called the public library in San Francisco and I said, send a van. And I gave them 300 books that I had been moving from place to place over the years, most of them were from college that I attended briefly. And they were books that I kept on the shelf so that people would think I'm smarter and more educated and erudite than I am. And at 50, I thought, how much longer are you going to do this? Because all that stuff keeps us flying way too low. I mean, skimming the treetops. And I thought, I just really want to soar. And so I got rid of books. There were a few people I let go of gently because I had been agreeing to be with them for many years, although they were damaging to me or they made me feel shame or just small. And I very gently wiggled free, let's say, and maybe talked to them every few years instead of two or three times a year. I started to really prune and lighten the load, and that's made a huge difference in my life. But, you know, I have a great friend, Terry Ritchie, who's a Diocesan priest in Los Angeles, and he said something so brilliant. He said, we don't get over much here. And if I think about it, I'm very, very similar to the way I was at, like, 7, you know? I'm very sensitive. People get to me much, much less than they do because I just write them off. Or, you know, you just realize people get to think what they think and you're not going to change them. But we don't get over much here. And so I do think I'm wiser. I do think my life makes a lot more sense because I say, you know why? Because I say no a lot more. And I think I was probably in my mid-50s when I discovered no is a complete sentence. And so that sort of frees me up to say yes with enthusiasm to the stuff that I really want to do or that I think may make a difference for a number of people. So does that answer your question?
Oh, it does. I think we've got our phone line sorted now. So let's try John in Mauston for real now. John, hi.
Hello.
Hi. What do you want to tell us about John?
Well, I was just saying that as a disabled Vietnam veteran from the 60s all the way to the 70s, the first thing I say when I come outside and sit in the sun is I say, thank you, Lord, for this day. Then I say a warrior's prayer to give hope to the POWs, closure to those loving families of MIAs, and protecting our troops both here and abroad, especially the first responders that are everywhere. Then I go on and I say a Hail Mary and ask her for intercession with the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, to watch over the women, all those abused, the sick, the lame. And I ended up, especially for the young girls, that are innocent women that are being trafficked by, I just call them evildoers. I'm not going to put a name on them because everybody knows who they are.
John, thanks a lot for calling in. And I hear there and gratitude, appreciation of nature, faith and compassion and concern for others. Sounds like a pretty good recipe.
Yeah, and it's also about waking up every morning instead of hitting the snooze button again and again and getting yourself outside and looking up and around you and letting yourself be blown away all over again. My old pastor used to have this great sermon based on how you can keep bees at the bottom of a mason jar with no lid on because they just walk around bumping into the glass kind of bitterly. I guess they have their arms crossed. And all they have to do is to look up, and then they can fly away. So when people call and they're depressed or lost, I just say, go outside, look up, look up, look up. And you don't look up and go, oh, it's a medium full moon tonight. You know, you look up and you go, oh, my God. And it spritzes you back awake. And so we do that over and over again all day if we remember to.
John, thanks for the call. We'll go to Tara now in Lake Delta. And Tara, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to let you know a little coping mechanism I've learned over time. I suffer from depression myself, and I have liked watched lots of good movies with happy endings, and I write lots of cards to people to encourage them, especially during this pandemic time. But most of all, I wanted to let people know about this little thing I kind of fell upon, that I've been doing staycations at home, just going to other countries, studying about them, learning about the language, and watching like classic movies. Lately, I've been going to India, and I've been watching classic. I've been watching classic movies that have to do with India. You know, ones that are more low key movies during this stressful time. I mean, my parents are elderly; they have difficulties right now, a very serious illness. And I'm just like, I throw my arms up in the air, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to India.
Oh, I love that. That's a great idea.
I love it. Tara, thanks. Best to you and your folks, too. Yeah. Anne, what do you think?
I think it's an amazing idea. But also, I love that she writes cards to people to encourage them. And always, if you want to have loving feelings yourself, you do loving things for other people. You know, you call your lonely and very annoying uncle, and you just check in with him. And, I mean, to write cards to people is just so wonderful because then they can hold on to it, and especially if it has a really pretty picture on it. But it was nice talking to her.
Tara, thanks. And our last minute, Anne, you know, we've had this pandemic for a year plus now. I've heard from callers. They're feeling, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel, but they're feeling really drained and down right now. Thoughts for them in our last minute on how to keep it up for another little longer.
Well, it's hard, and I think you have to give yourself credit for what we've done together, what we've come through, and just like pat yourself nicely on the shoulder like you would anybody else. And we're good at hard, and we just keep taking, for me, I just keep trying to help the poor. I keep it very simple. I really love the food pantries and those pictures of the mile-long lines to get a box of food for your family are heartbreaking. And so I send everyone I hear about some money, and I go over to the one in San Rafael, and I just keep it really simple. I really don't think that figure it out is a very good slogan for life. And so I just take the action, and then the insight follows, which is that, I just try to keep the patient comfortable. We've come through a lot. There's been a really deep, deep sense of gratitude for the people of service. You know, Mr. Rogers' mother always said that great thing to him when there was a tragedy or a crisis. She said, look to the helpers. And so I make myself be aware all the time of these incredible first responders, EMTs, and the nurses. Oh, my God. And that just fills me with humility and gratitude and just kind of can help me hit the reset button that this has been so hard and it's been astonishing.
Ann, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. I love this.
That's Ann Lamott. Her new book is called Dusk, Night, Dawn on Revival and Courage.